Thank you for joining us at the OT Corner with Mrs. K. Please note this podcast does not intend to offer medical advice or therapeutic treatment for any medical condition for either yourself or others. If you have any medical or rehabilitation concerns for yourself or your child, please contact your physician. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the OT Corner with Mrs. K., a school-based occupational therapist bringing you a series of interviews and information on childhood development for kids with all different abilities. So get ready, get set, let's go.
Hello, welcome back to the OT Corner with Mrs. K. I have to admit, I have not been around since April of this past year. That was the last podcast I put out, but there's good reason. I have been very busy. I had created a class in the spring that I gave in the summer called Mrs. K's Fine Motor Power Hour. It was a little camp, Fine Motor Power Hour camp, that I created for kiddos who were entering into kindergarten this year. And it went over really well. I gave it at my local rec department. I had about, 21 kids sign up. I did it for 8 weeks. They were split up into two sessions, so each session was 4 weeks. And it went over really well. Parents had some great feedback for me that I am tweaking the current program that I'm working on, as well as a request to create a program for kindergartners going into first grade. So I am working on that right now. I also have been working on creating a tutoring program for handwriting, and I have been able to start that up on a platform called OutSchool. It is an online teaching platform for teachers and for, you know, learners who want to learn stuff. So I'm doing that, and it's a handwriting, one-on-one handwriting tutoring course. So I have that going on, and then I also have been working hard on creating worksheets and activities that I can give some of my followers that are following me on my website and on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. And I give, every week I try to create a Friday freebie and I put it up on my website and send it out to my members. And plus I have some other things going on. So I'm super busy. And so I put the podcast back on the back burner for a little bit, but really wanted to get back up and started because I noticed a lot of people are listening. I have followers now on my podcast, which is great. It's a small community, but you know what? I'm happy for those that are there. And so what I'm going to do, I have my first guest is next Monday, and her name is Stephanie Boland. She is an American Sign Language interpreter. That's her background. That's what she went to college for. And she also is a reading tutor, handwriting tutor. She also does stuff with handwriting, more so with composition and communication through writing. But she's also an Orton Gillingham certified tutor. So she uses that program, and it's super interesting to me because I think the information that she and the knowledge that she has is really important for occupational therapists and other related services in the schools to know about. It's a great resource. So, but this week, today, I have had a lot of followers on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, and even the people that I have worked with in person. One of the most popular questions that I get from parents is how can I get my kid to hold a pencil properly? And I did a podcast last season on grasp progression, how from infancy to about, 6-7 years old. And really, that was more of a generalized overview of grasp on a lot of different things, toys and pencils and crayons and markers and scissors and anything, and how that grasp develops and what the general progression is. And I always say general because please, you know, understand that as long as a kid is continuing to develop, you know, some kids go slower than others, some go faster. It's just how we're all wired. But today what I wanted to do is, because this is such a popular question, I would like to go over some important things to think about and how to support your child with developing a functional grasp. I like to use functional rather than proper because we all have different grasp patterns on writing tools. And I really want to focus on what's functional, what does that mean, and then also some ideas of how to support your kid to develop a nice grasp pattern on a writing tool. So let's get started. Okay, first, before I go into ideas to help support a functional grasp with a kiddo, I want to go over what I mean by functional. I don't like to use proper grasp or the desired grasp or whatever. The reason I don't like to do that is because people develop all different types of grasps for so many different reasons. And, you know, honestly, if what I mean by functional, so I want to make sure that that kid is able to, you know, produce legible handwriting in the class in an acceptable amount of time and be able to tolerate the writing task. So I look at like five main things when I think of a functional grasp with a kid. So, you know, obviously the first thing is the handwriting legible? Like, you know, some kids may have a funky grasp that you think is funky, but it's functional for them. But their handwriting is legible. So ask yourself that question. Is the handwriting legible? Well, yeah, it looks good most of the time, and that's great. The other thing, too, that I look at is handwriting causing any pain? Are they complaining of pain? Do they say, man, my hand really hurts after I write, like, maybe a sentence? Or the pencil hurts on the one knuckle, or you know what I mean? Look at, is there a pain? Are they complaining of pain? The third thing I look at is their activity tolerance for handwriting. Are they actually able to sit down and write in a, you know, an age-appropriate amount of work? Are they fatiguing or saying, you know, just starting to fall out of their chair? Or they, you know, signs of fatigue come through behavior too, like they're just not able to tolerate the activity and you might see them goofing off. So you got to look at the activity tolerance. Is it like their peers in the classroom? Are they able to do the same amount of work as their classmates? Then the fourth thing I look at is the amount of pressure they're putting on the writing tool. Like, are they putting, and this can be associated with pain and fatigue, because I'll tell you something, if a kid is holding that pencil really hard and pressing really hard, they might fatigue and complain of pain more so than their, you know, their friends. So what type of pressure are they using? Is it too hard? Is it too light? I look at that. Because if it's too hard, it might rip the paper. If it's too light, you might not be able to even see what they're writing. And that's a whole nother interesting thing, the sensory part of handwriting. And then I look also, are there any changes on their skin from how they write their hands? Are they causing like sores? Are they getting a callus? Those types of things. So those are, when I talk about functional grasps, if you answer all those questions and you don't see, there's really no issue with any of those five main areas, I honestly wouldn't change a grasp. And believe me, I have a TikTok where I have all these funky, and I look at grasps all the time because that's what I do for a living. It's just habit. I look at how people hold things. I did like a funny TikTok about like how the service guy at the Toyota dealership was holding his pencil, or how Taylor Swift holds her pencil. So there's all these different ways that people hold their writing tools. But guess what? It might be functional and we might not need to change it. All right. Maybe you don't need to change a kid's grasp. Maybe we don't need to do it. But there are some things that people can do to support their kiddos to create a more functional grasp pattern. And I'm going to go over four main areas that I feel are really important for this. The first area I'm going to go over is gross motor development. All right, that is super important for our fine motor to develop. And our fine motor is really needed for handwriting, right, and grasping. The other thing I'm going to go over is visual motor integration. And what is that and why is it important for developing a good grasp? I'm going to talk about vertical surfaces and why they are so important and why I use them all the time. And then finally, I'm going to go over different types of activities to encourage a functional grasp in your kid. First area I want to talk about that's really important for establishing a nice functional grasp on a writing tool is gross motor development. This is really, really important. Grasp actually begins when a kid is able or a baby is able to release items. So, you know, when babies are born, they're born with what we call a palmar reflex or a grasp reflex. You put your finger in their palm and their little fingers curl around your finger and hold on to it. That's a grasp reflex. It's a reflex. It's not volitional. When they are able to release an item volitionally, like they want to put something in a bucket or something, or drop a toy, or throw a toy, that is, you know, the start of grasp progression development. Gross motor development starting in infancy is super important. It is important to get kids on the floor and on tummy time, supervised tummy time, to start developing grasp. It is important to get weight into the hands as the kid starts to learn how to push up from a prone position. They're getting weight into those palms and they're creating what we call palmar arches, which are going to be vital for any sort of grasp pattern, not just a grasp pattern around a crayon or marker. And also it's starting to get the kid to hold their head up against gravity, so neck extension. They're also working on muscle strength in the muscles that are close to the body in their upper extremities, which are the shoulder complex. And that's what we call our stabilization part of the arm. Super, super important for the working part of our arm to be able to do what it needs to do. So, and then also we are working on postural support. So, you know, getting those kiddos to crawl and improve core stability, all these skills that we are giving our kiddos by getting them on their tummy and getting them on the floor in infancy or as babies is really, really important. I can't stress how important it is. Not only that, they're starting to use their vision as they move through an environment. If these skills are not really fully developed, this is when you're going to see issues later down the road as the kid is going into preschool or kindergarten and they have a hard time holding themselves up against gravity to sit at a table to color. So really, honestly, I really encourage parents to start with tummy time. Try not to use, we call them like, you know, the container babies, trying to get kids out and moving as much as possible and as early as possible. And you're going to have to supervise a kid, obviously, when they're younger, just because that's super, super important for grasp patterns. It is, I can't tell you how important, it's probably one of the most important things and the foundation of all foundations in these skills. So gross motor development, get the kids out of the containers, get them on supervised tummy time. You know, I'm not a big fan of the jumpers and, you know, putting kids in those bumbos or anything like that. We really need to not try to get away from containers that contain a baby or, you know, give them so much support that their body is not working against gravity or that they are in an upright position when they should be more prone in pushing up against gravity. So these are really, really important. The gross motor development is super, super important. I can't stress that enough. The next thing I want to go over, and I kind of touched a little bit about that when I just was talking about gross motor, was visual motor integration. So another reason we want our kiddos to start moving through their environment at a very early age is because now they're starting to hold their head up against gravity. They're starting to move their eyes independently of their head. They're using their scanning. They're starting to use their vision and their motor coordination skills in combination together. We call this visual motor integration. This is important for other skills such as throwing a ball, kicking a ball. Believe it or not, improving visual motor integration skills is going to improve grasp down the road because it is teaching a kid how to use a grasp pattern, coordinate it, and act on it. And they're going to need their vision to either throw the ball somewhere, you know, they grasp the ball and they throw it. So those visual motor integration skills are really, really important. It's also going to be important down the road when a kid is sitting at a desk and they need to look up and look down and use their functional grasp to draw something that they see or write something that they see. So visual motor integration is important for grasp as well. And like I said, visual motor integration can be practiced with a grasp and release of an object into a container, throwing a ball at a target. These are all great grasp developers, believe it or not. It really is. So I always encourage parents that, believe it or not, fun stuff can be improving their grasp on a writing tool. It really can. Next, I want to talk about something that I am like, if anything, when I am in the preschool level, and even little kids, I love vertical surfaces, okay? What is a vertical surface? A vertical surface is a whiteboard or a chalkboard or an easel or a slant board on a table. And I love starting little ones, toddlers, babies, preschoolers at vertical surfaces. There's a reason I do this. First of all, if you think about it, I'll give an example. When my little girls were toddlers and tootling around the house, I used to have things up on the wall for them. Like, so I would have like this magnet game on my refrigerator. I had a chalkboard in my daughter's room. We painted it on the wall. I had easels. I had so many vertical surfaces all around the house that they could just walk up to and explore grasping and manipulating different tools such as paintbrushes and finger paints and, like I said, the magnets on the refrigerator. Those are so important for creating a functional grasp. A vertical surface really encourages a movement called tenodesis. I'm going to go into a little bit with spinal cord injuries. When we have patients that come into us with a cervical spinal cord injury, and they have been, their ability to extend and flex their wrist is an issue because that's the level of their injury. A lot of therapists will teach them the tendinesis effect. Basically, what it is that when the wrist is in flexion, the fingers and the joints of the hand and the muscles of the hand extend, so they straighten. Okay, so your fingers straighten. When you extend the wrist, or as if you're going to say hello, you know, wave your hand, when your hand comes up, if you just let your fingers relax, they bend and flex. The muscles contract in the hand and the joints contract, they flex. So a lot of times in spinal cord injury rehab, we use this to teach these people how to pick things up and release them. So pick up gross grasp and release it into something. So the reason vertical surfaces are important is because what it does is it uses this tendinesis effect. The kids are using it and they don't even know they're using it. Their wrist is an extension and their joints, it's easier for the joints and the muscles in the hand to flex and for the joints to move. into flexion, which allows a kid to hold on to something a little smaller, such as a crayon or a piece of chalk. So that's a reason I like one of the reasons I like vertical surfaces. The other thing that working on a vertical surface, and I just touched on that, is that a kid can walk up to an easel or they can walk up to a chalkboard and they don't have to sit up against gravity to play at that easel or the chalkboard. And they can smear finger paints all over a piece of paper. Oh my gosh, my daughter used to be a mess with this. She used to love it. Or paint, and their head is already up. So if you think about a kid sitting at a desk and learning to write, not only is that kid learning to write or learning to draw, but they're holding their head up against gravity. Our heads are really heavy. And so it's a lot harder for them to hold their head up against gravity. So when you have them at a vertical surface, their head's up, it's on their shoulders. And all they have to really concentrate on is how to hold that marker and make the movements. Also at a vertical surface, you are improving your postural strength and you're improving the muscle strength and the activity tolerance in those muscles in the stabilization parts of your body. So your core, your shoulder complex, those are all starting to get stronger, and which is super important for the working part of our hand to work. I honestly, when I start working with preschoolers and toddlers, I do a lot of movement and I do a lot of fun songs that the kids work on these muscle, strengthening these muscles. And even like songs like the Itsy Bitsy Spider, standing up and having the kids do those types of songs, or any song with movement that encourages a lot of movement at the shoulders, elbows, and wrists is really great foundational building blocks for grasping a writing tool. So those are really, and that's fun stuff to do, right? It's so fun. Like, you know, I can't even tell you how much fun my kids had when they were little, standing at the easel on the back porch and just being able to get messy and explore the different types of tools I had out for them, like crayons and markers and paints. And so it's really important. Those vertical surfaces make learning how to write and learning how to grasp on a writing tool a lot easier. The last thing I want to talk about is the type of writing tool to use with younger kiddos to start working on a functional grasp. When I work with my preschoolers, a lot of times I will take crayons and I'll break them. And I will make them only maybe 2 inches long at the most. And the reason I do that is because this was going to force the kiddo to use a pincer grasp on the crayon to color with it or to, you know, try to draw a shape with it. I also will break pieces of chalk into tiny pieces, and or I will get those fun little, they're called adaptive crayons, but they're in the shapes of stars and they have fun little textures on them, forces them to use that pincer grasp. There's also the cone crayons that I've used that have a hole at the top where they stick their finger into, and it forces a 3-finger pincer grasp on the writing tool. I've featured a lot of these in my TikToks, and you can find them on my TikTok channel. But really, it's a great way to start practicing that formation on a writing tool. That being said, I also want to encourage you to use golf pencils, or Ticonderoga has they have a shorter pencil. It's about the size of a golf pencil, but it's thicker. So anything that's thicker in diameter is going to be a lot easier for little hands to start learning how to achieve a functional grasp. I also will do activities that encourage that 3-pincer grasp. It may not be on a writing tool, so I may use a Q-tip. I'll do Q-tip painting. That's a really cool way, and also a very motivating way for a kid to practice that pincer grasp or that 3-finger grasp. I will also have them, I'll take a white erase board and I will draw shapes using a dry erase marker, and they have to pinch a cotton ball and they have to erase it right on the line. I will also use I will cut a sponge up into 1-inch pieces and we'll be at the chalkboard, and I'll include like a spray bottle. Spray bottles are great to use at a chalkboard. The kid will spray and take their little sponge and squeeze and wipe off the chalk that's on the board. Or you can also do the same thing that I do with the cotton ball on the whiteboard. You can draw a line and they can dip the sponge into water, squeeze it so they're getting some strength in that pincer grasp, and erase it with the sponge. Those are just some ideas of how to start encouraging a grasp or a functional grasp on a writing tool. So try those. So I hope those ideas help with practicing a functional grasp or practice developing a functional grasp on a writing tool. Like I said, grasp development starts in infancy and develops over the course of the first 7 years of their life. So try it. And if you have any questions about any of the content on my podcast today, you are more than welcome to email me at jennifer@theotcorner.com. You can also check out all my social media, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, to find some great activities that I demonstrate that you can use with some of your kids. I also have a website, theotcorner.com, and every Friday I try to put out a Friday freebie, which is usually a digital printout or something that is a reference material for you to use. And you can sign up for that too. I will put that link in the show notes today. So have a great week, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you for listening to the OT Corner with Mrs. K. Feel free to join the OT Corner community by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you have a topic you want to hear about, or if you would like to come on the show, feel free to contact Jennifer at theotcorner.com. We would love to hear from you. All information from the show is listed in the episode notes. We know you can listen to anyone, so we appreciate you stopping by. Until next time, thanks again.